I don't know if you can read that. Some say in the, we don't have a black marker up here right now, so the blue hopefully is readable. But I wrote on the board the intensity of God's love. This feel like the Lord's been talking to me a little bit this morning or through the week about this subject. We're all familiar with the scripture in John 3 and 16. And we know what it says. Can you children say the scripture, "For God so loved the world"? I'm just going to stop right there for a minute. And I want us to think a little bit this morning about what this means. And I trust and pray that God will open up our hearts a little bit this morning to take in and to recognize what that means. You know, it's one thing for someone to kind of like someone, and it's another thing for them to have a little bit more intensity in that, but it's quite another when someone loves someone with a great intensity. I've seen that and experienced that and loved that this morning. You know, when we see what God has done, and we see His thoughts toward us, and I pray this morning, I really believe if every one of us could understand in our heart the intensity of God's desire and love for you and me, I believe it would be life-changing. I never knew when I was a young man, though I wanted to serve the Lord as a young boy, I never recognized till I was 18 years old and started really seeking the Lord and finding out about Him and having something to seek and recognize and began to realize the intensity of the love that God had. You know, I want us to think, and if the Lord could help us today to really this to come home to us, I think about what love means. If you look the Greek word up, it means love. If you look up love in Webster's, it says, and I'm skipping around and taking little parts out of it, but the gist is here, I believe. You can look it up for yourself. An affection of the mind, excited by beauty and worth of any kind or by the qualities of an object which communicate pleasure. Now, I'll read that again. An affection of the mind. This is love. Excited by beauty and worth of any kind or by the qualities of an object which communicate pleasure. And it goes on. You know, sensual or intellectual. Love is excited by pleasing qualities of any kind, as by kindness, benevolence, charity, and by the love and by the qualities which render social intercourse agreeable. In the latter case, love is ardent friendship or a strong attachment springing from goodwill and esteem, and the pleasure derived from the company, civilities, and it goes on. The Christian loves his Bible. In short, we love whatever gives us pleasure and delight, whether animal or intellectual. And if our hearts are right, we love God above all things as the sum of all excellence and all the attributes which can communicate happiness to intelligent beings. Now, I want to ask us something this morning. Do we see God like that today? Do we see Him not only as the supreme affection of our heart, but I'm thinking about God toward us right now. Do we see the ardent affection and love that He has for you and me? I believe if we perceive that, I believe it'll make a big difference in how we react to the Lord. If we see God, and as we're being raised in our homes, we are all affected Say quite a number of us here were just raised out in the world or in other, wherever, here and there. And, you know, we come up with our ideas of the way we've seen our Father, of the way we've perceived God in our home, of how we've been taught. And that's how we come into life, and that's how we come into things until we get to know the Lord. And there comes this place and time that if we begin to open our hearts to the overtures of God, we will find Him to be one we never, never realized what He really was about. You know, I think about, I want to read this scripture and maybe we'll come back. I want to come back to this scripture here in a minute. But in 1 John 3 and 16, it tells us that we perceive the love of God. And it says here, hereby perceive we get a glimpse of it. We understand it. We all of a sudden, we perceive something maybe that we didn't perceive before. And it says, hereby perceive we the love of God because He laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Do you know this morning, I believe that if we only can perceive what God is up to, folks, there's no greater love that any man has had than that a man lay down his life for his friends. But we weren't even friends. We were maybe enemies. He laid down his life with no guarantee of what we were going to do. And God had this love in His mind that He came. And we perceive His love, the scripture says here, because He laid down His life for us. Now, you know, it's one thing when somebody comes over and you're in grief or something and they do something nice for you. You know, chords are struck in hard times, aren't they? Relationships, there's an element that begins to work and that happens at times like that, that begins to weld people together in difficult times, don't it? But you know, this morning, the Lord, when we perceive what He's done for us, it changes our mind. I was thinking about a story, and I don't know the details of this story. I don't even know if I have this story right, but it's a good story. So I'm just going to tell it as that. That a young fella had wrecked his car, his dad's car, and he was very worried and concerned. What am I going to do? And the mother went out and hit a pole or something and wrecked it further and said, I did that. And she took the blame for that wreck from that son. Now, whatever we think of that story, I want to tell you something. The Lord is real interested in you and me. He is not this one sitting up on a throne of gold and ivory and looking to see what somehow He can find you doing wrong. But rather, He's one that sent His Son to take our place, to take the blame that was going to go on us, the curse that would have been on us, and He took it for us. Why? What was in God's mind? What do you think? What do you think? Why did He do that? And yet we hadn't even given Him anything yet. People rejected even Jesus as He was here doing that. Most rejected Him. And so this morning I just want to ask the Lord to open up our minds a little. Maybe we won't be a long time this morning. But I want to just think about this thought back in John 3 and 16. For God so loved the world. And I want us to remember that in our heart and life. From now on, God so loved the world. You know who the world is? It's you and me. God so, you can put your name in there. God so loved me that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Do you know that's why he sent him this morning? Do you know that God only has feelings and thoughts of love and concern and desire for you and me to serve him? Do you know that should change our perspective of who God is and how he's going to treat me? Can I serve this God? Can I ever really make the grade with him? Is there really any way for me to ever make heaven my home? Is there any way to please the Lord? Well, I want to tell us this morning something, that he didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but he sent his Son that we might be saved. Now, that doesn't mean that he looks the other way and we just keep on living wicked. But I want to tell you, he forgives everything we've ever done and never brings it up again. Never again. And do you know, then he gives us something that only he can give. And that is the power to be able to live for God and become one of the sons of God. He gives us the power. Wouldn't it be evil and hurtful? I'm going to say it that way. Wouldn't it be evil for one to come and say, yeah, I'll take away the penalty. Now you go ahead and live in sin and pay all the prices that sin brings. Why should I still be bound? Why should I still remain in that kind of way when the Lord God has all power in heaven and earth? You know what the Lord wants to come and do for us today? He wants to change our heart. He wants to forgive us. He wants to bless our lives with peace. He wants to give us those things in life that we most long for. People most long for those things of love, of companionship, of feeling like everything is okay. We could go on down the line if you really wanted to get down to the things. But you know, this morning, the Lord saw all that. And he had such an intensity of love that he brought to us the plan of salvation. He brought to us that heals the heart, that makes whole, that strengthens and gives us what we need this morning. I want and ask the Lord today, Lord, I feel completely inadequate this morning to be able to open this kind of subject up this morning without help from the Lord. But I want to ask us to think about it. Lord, what did you come for? You know, sometimes people come to get saved and they just feel like, I'm going to have to give everything up. I can't be happy anymore. Well, I want to tell you something. If you have to give something sinful up, it's not the thing that makes you happy. The Lord is. And if we will take his way and allow him, God will work a work in our life that will transform us and make us into something very, very different than who we were. It'll be godly. It'll be holy. It'll be lovely. It'll be the work of his handiwork. We're the work of his hands. Did you know that this morning? We're his creation. And so I know I'm speaking to many that know this well. But I want to think about Matthew 22 and 36 and keeping in mind what this word love means and how it has something to do with affections, how it has something to do with desire. It has something to do with, what did it say, an affection of the mind excited by beauty and worth of any kind. Well, let's look at what the Lord said the great commandment was. Listen to this. Matthew 22 and 36 to 38. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Do you know this morning That's what the Lord longs for. Did you know that's why that's the first and great commandment? He longs for you and I to love Him like that. He didn't say, I want you to get in my box and I'm going to screw the lid down on it and I'm going to have you right where I want you. He said, thou shalt love. Now what's that word love mean? That means an affection of the mind. And we read it a while ago. You can read it for yourself and study it. It's something greater than just doing something out of making yourself do service. Folks, the Lord loves for us to love Him. And He loves for us to perceive His love. That He came to love us. Did you know? Is this something we comprehend this morning? That God really loves me? And so we've always maybe taken this scripture as a commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy... I gotta put my whole mind in this. And we miss the main word. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your mind and all thy heart and with all thy soul and with... Well, let's see. With all the heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Do you know what that is? That's an extension of that love that God puts in our heart when He comes to us. And He puts that kind of love and affection. Is this real this morning? Yes, it is real. It's very real. It's life-changing. It makes our life completely different. But we have to search after the Lord and allow the Lord. Lord, He said one place, when you search for me with all your heart, that's not an exact, but you'll be found of me. Do you know that He wants us to respond to His love? Because His love is, I've done the ultimate. I've come down. I not only gave my Son, but I set you where you could hear my gospel. And I've been dealing with your heart. And I've loved you. And I've dealt with you. And you're where you are because I put you there. Do you know this morning what the Lord is wanting is for us to open our heart back and say, Lord, put your love in my heart and help me to open up and understand it. The scripture over here in Romans 5:5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Do you know that not only has the Lord made great overtures to us, but He wants to put in our hearts that love of God. And He wants to shed it abroad in our hearts. And He tells us there, then in the 39th verse back here in Matthew 22, and the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Do you know what that is? That's an extension of God's love. And so as we begin to interact with the Lord, and we begin, does He ask hard things? Yeah, sometimes He does. Sometimes He does. He asked the rich young ruler one time, you leave all of that stuff. Well, you know, that's a hard thing, isn't it? That was a hard thing, and he was sad. But you know what Jesus, what the scriptures say when that happened? It says, and Jesus, He saw him and He loved him. That always struck me. When Jesus even saw that one, I wonder what all he was thinking. I wonder if he had a special call for him. I wonder what he had in mind. And it said he saw him and he loved him. And the fella just heard the hard saying, didn't he? Sometimes we just hear the hard saying because we do have to leave sin behind, because God doesn't cohabitate with unholy things, and He won't. He never has and He never will. He told Eve in the very beginning, and Adam, in the day that you sin, you're going to die. And so now the devil come along and said, you won't surely die. Don't worry about that, Eve. You won't surely die. And he's still telling people that today. He just has different reasonings. No, you're not going to die. You can go ahead and sin. Jesus covered you completely. Folks, God loves you and I. And he loves us way too much than to leave us in the place that we were in. Oh, I want to thank the Lord this morning. I never knew about this kind of love. I never recognized it until I met people that I saw that knew the Lord, that knew His workings, that loved the work of God, that loved the will of God. And I began to behold that, and my heart began to thirst. And I will tell you, I began to pray. I began to fast. I wanted that too. And I will tell you, when the Holy Spirit came into my heart, I have never witnessed a greater thing in my life. My whole life changed from that day to this. And I was just 18 years old. But do you know that's what the Lord wants to fill our deepest longings? Has it all been easy and everything? No, but God's been there all the way. He's been there every step of the way. And so this morning, I want to look a little bit about this longing that God has. The longing, the intensity of the longing, so intense that He said, I'm going to send my Son and I'm going to let Him die for their sins. And I'm not going to hold their sins against them any longer. And there's going to be a way for them to come straight to me now. I'm going to do that. And He did that. It was an intense longing of God for your love and for mine. And for us to shut God out and say we don't have time or we can't do what we can't serve Him like He wants us to or whatever. Do you know what? That hurts the heart of God. And so He says, you love me. You love me with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. When you do that, everything will come into focus, won't it? What a change from the law. What a change from the words. Those weren't crisp new words. He really quoted that out of the Old Testament, didn't he? Way back there in Deuteronomy we find that. And then we find it, but Jesus put life into it, didn't he? Something totally different. Instead of a law, it was a law of love. Instead of something that only bound and caused people to have, as Paul says in Romans, the 7th chapter, caused them to have condemnation. And he said, speaking of his law experience, who is able to deliver me from this body of death? Oh, I thank God. Through Jesus Christ. Oh, there was an answer, wasn't there? Oh, there was a difference. Oh, there was one that the Lord wanted to give to us. I want us to think about another of the simplest scriptures that we all know. But maybe, and we've heard it so many times, but let's turn back to Psalms 23. David wrote this psalm. David was a shepherd boy as a boy. David got a hold of God's love. David got a hold of God's thoughts toward him. And you know, and that was even under the law. But David got a hold of some things. I am certain that David was out there on those hills watching those sheep, spending those nights and looking up in awe at God, at His creation. And praying to Him, God in heaven. I have to believe that David prayed. He knew the Lord. Somehow David knew the Lord, didn't he? And so when we read this psalm, let's listen to his heart. 23:1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. What? David was a shepherd, so that meant a lot more to him than it means to you and me. A lot more, because he knew everything that a shepherd went through. And he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There's not one thing that I need that I'm not going to have because the Lord is my shepherd. He knew what it meant to lead those sheep. He knew what it meant. He knew where those watering holes were. He had been at it probably for years, even as a young man. And you know, he knew where those green pastures were. I think I'll take them over there today. Tomorrow, I think I'll lead them along that brook. And the next day there's a grassy spot over there. And then there's a pass I've got to go through. And it's pretty rough, but I'll get them through there. He knew the heart of a shepherd. You know this morning that the Lord is looking at you and me like that. Do you know that David just arose up in his mind and he got a glimpse of the Lord? And he said, He's my shepherd. I'm not going to want. And he went on to say, folks, there's a lot of fears in life, isn't there? A lot of things come up. But I want to tell you, when you can begin to rest, is when you begin to know in your heart, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't know how this is going to come out. And I may suffer. But I want to tell you something. I'm not going to be without, because He's going to take care of me. You know what? The Lord wants you and I to have that revealed in our hearts. Love the Lord. Seek the Lord. Respond to His overtures. When He calls you for a deeper consecration, give it. Do you think He's trying to lead you into something heavy and hard? No. He's trying to lead you into paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He's trying to lead you and me in places where we can be blessed and our family can be blessed and those we're praying for can be touched. That's what He's trying to do this morning. And so when we get a hold of that, we say, Lord, I want You to lead me. I'm going, what's it say? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Those that get a hold of being led by the Lord. Lord, all I want is for You to lead me. And there I will go by Your help and grace. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And you know, I have to think when David penned these words, I have to think he was thinking back and he was seeing himself leading those sheep. I believe he probably was thinking of those things. The green pastures, the still waters, He restoreth my soul. He knows there's times. Not all the time do we just sit in the green pastures. Life isn't like that. Because of sin, life isn't like that. Because of persecution, life isn't like that. But there are those times. And it says, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Do you know that what restore means? I didn't look the word up, but it brings something back to its original condition. It restores it. And He said, He restores my soul. The Lord is my shepherd, and He rests me, and He helps me to be restored. And to have a new grip on life, to have a new place, a new step. And I grabbed another peg and now I can go on. And He says, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You know, if we feel in our hearts like we're only being driven, that's not the Lord. That's not the way God does it. It says here, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. You know who He leads? People that want to follow. That's all He leads. He doesn't drive anybody, and He won't. If you and I want the Lord, we're going to have to follow. And if we'll follow, and if we'll respond, and if we will see His overtures, and if we will comprehend His love, He'll lead us. And He'll lead us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Listen to this. I wrote down here, I don't even remember what it was, 422 of 09. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Do you know that sometimes we walk that valley, don't we? The shadow of death, dark, not understanding, not knowing what lies ahead. Fear on every side sometimes happens, doesn't it? But you know what? The Lord hasn't left us there without His help. And so it says, though I walk through that valley, I will fear no evil. I will tell you, when we're in that valley, we just passed through that valley with my brother. You know, this morning, I was, Lord, we need words. We need help here. Do you know we found, going in the strength of the Lord, we found His words were there. We found that He was there. And I found that wherever the Lord leads, He's there. Sometimes He leads us to go see somebody and we don't know, have a clue what to say or to pray for someone. And what are we going to do? I want to tell you, I have seen the Lord move in many, many times and change situations. That's the way the Lord does it, folks. Let's get our eyes up like David did. Oh, Lord, You're my shepherd. I want to follow You. You're not going to have to drive me. You're not going to have to beat on me. You're not going to have to chasten me and chastise me, because I'm following and I'm coming up as close as I can. I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me. Where? You prepare a table before me? In the presence of my enemies. And you still eat and do well. How's that? Because it's God. Because He's our shepherd this morning. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, this morning, just want to encourage us to let the Lord, let Him lead us, let Him take us, let Him help us this morning. I think what you'll find is, you'll find those pastures. You'll find a God that you knew nothing of. But it comes from our whole heart following after Him. That's the only way we're going to get to heaven. It's not going to come by, I hope maybe I'll make it. Folks, we'll never make it like that. We're going to have to love the Lord. We're going to have to respond to His overtures toward us. I wanted to read a few little things that Clark said. Just a little bit of what he said about that psalm. Adam Clark, he says, he leads them out and in so that they shall find pasture and safety. Two, He knows where to feed them, and in the course of His grace and providence leads them in the way in which they should go. Three, He watches over them and keeps them from being destroyed by ravenous beasts. Isn't that a promise to us? That where even there is temptation, that there would be a way to escape. And He promises there will be that way there. You don't have to fall to the temptation. I'll make a way to escape. And so He watches over us. He cares for us and protects us. If any have strayed, He brings them back. Wow. That's what a shepherd does, isn't it? Do we have the idea that somehow the Lord's going to lower the boom on me and somehow I'm going to make a mistake and it's going to be over? Folks, He's a shepherd, a very tender and gentle shepherd. He brings them to the shade in times of scorching heat. In times of persecution and affliction, He finds out an asylum for them. And six, He takes care that they shall lack no manner or thing that is good. And so I just want to think about that this morning. I know our time is getting past, but the Lord help each one of us today. In Hebrews 13 and 20, the writer got a hold of that same idea, and he said, now the God of peace, listen to this, now the God of peace that brought again the dead from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. You know, that's what the Lord wants to do for us. make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I believe that the Lord wants to do that for us. I was thinking over here in Hebrews, where it talks about the chastening of the Lord there in the 12th chapter, and the 5th and 6th verse. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Do you know that even in his chastenings is deep divine love? We should recognize it as that, and well, and not think in our mind and heart, oh, I sure got a whip. I'm going to get a whipping now. You know what he has in mind? Our correction, our benefit, heaven. He has all that in mind. And so if we endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. Don't we chasten our sons? We want them, we chasten them that they don't get in deeper trouble, don't we? And in greater things. And so we chasten them. We get after them. Maybe they endure some punishment sometimes. And I know that the world warps that all out of context. But folks, there is a way that we deal with our children in love, that they recognize it's in love. It's not in our anger, and it's not in our desire to right the score or whatever. But folks, the Lord deals with us like that too. And if we will allow it, that chastening will work something well. Maybe we get ahead of the Lord. You know what? He chastens us for that sometimes, doesn't he? Maybe we lag behind. Maybe we get too busy in our own things and forget about the things of God. You know what? Those things sometimes require us to have a little chastening, don't they? Do we perceive the love of God in all these things? Do we perceive that in all that the Lord deals with us, it is in His love? I recognize that one day He will be our judge. And that we will, if we do not respond to the Lord, that will be an awful day of judgment. But folks, now is our day. Now is the time for us to respond to the Lord. God's way is best. And I hope that we can say that in our hearts. God's way is best. Hereby perceive we the love of God. This is 1 John 3:16. Because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And I want to read at least one more here. 1 John 3:14-24. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Do you know this morning that God wants to put something in our heart that is very different than hate and constant malice and troubles? The Lord wants to do that today. What an awesome blessing that is for Him to take away the hate, the bitter feelings, and restore unto us feelings of love. And so John says, we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You see, that love, that intensity of God's love that comes from Him to us, He wants it to be shed abroad by His Holy Spirit to others around us this morning. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You see how the love of God reaches into every area of our life concerning the Lord and other people. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Now I want to say, the devil will try to condemn us. But if our heart condemn us and we know that we are in error, then it says God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. So we're not talking about some accusation of the enemy. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, and we throw off the accusations of the enemy, don't let him accuse you and ruin your life with accusations. He will come to you as he came to Jesus. He accused Jesus too. And you know, it says here, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Let's keep things clear. Keep the love of God in our heart. Keep our love toward God in our heart. First, foremost, with all of our heart and mind and soul. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in Him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. All this morning, I just want to challenge us that the Lord wants to give us that kind of Spirit this morning. Does He? Sure He does. He wants to give us that kind of Spirit. And that's a real witness to us that the Lord is in our life. So let's allow the Lord to work in our lives and to mold us and allow His love to make us love one another. What greater thing is there than to say, I love everybody? There isn't a single person on earth that I want any ill will for, or that I won't speak to or love. You know, this morning, I just want to challenge us. The love of God comes down into our hearts. Let's realize the intensity of it. He died. He sent His Son to die for it. And then He sends all kinds of other helps for us to be able to perceive that love and to be able to enjoy that love this morning. And then He puts that in us and wants us to share that with others. And what greater thing in life than to love one another and to be at peace in our hearts and in our lives and to be godly in our lives and to keep our lives clear and clean. There's no greater thing, I believe, than that. Then a man can truly be at peace. A man can face death like that and truly be at peace. Amen.